Back in 1929, if you were sitting in a windowsill getting ready to jump out the window because you'd lost everything in the stock market crash, you might have heard this catchy little tune.
No one to talk with, all by myself. No one to walk with, but I'm happy on the shelf. Ain't misbehaving.
You hear that steady beat? Ain't misbehaving? Jump! That's my advice for you. Because of the research of Phil Maimon, who's here in the studio with us, he's a professor of finance and risk engineering at the Polytechnic Institute of New York, in New York University. Phil Maimon, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Let me encapsulate your research, and that is you have tracked the Billboard Top 100 and have determined that there are characteristics of music, including rhythmic characteristics, that are strongly associated with dark economic times ahead. And Ain't Misbehavin' was really popular in 1929. Lay out your thesis for me.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it. The steadiness versus or the turbulence of the music, or the average of the what I call the beat variance. It's how if it's a steady beat, if it's the same beat, no matter whether it's fast or slow, that's a low beat variance song. And if it starts off slow, becomes fast, and comes back down, that's a high beat variance, and that's a turbulent song. So
tempo changes,
right.
Fast speed, slow speed.
Right.
Now be careful. I want you to talk carefully because Stephen Dubner is still here, and we got Dora, you know, who's like big on music. So we got a lot of skeptics in the studio here. So
excellent.
Keep going.
So that's a measure of kind of the complexity of the song. You could think of it as the mood of the song. Is it the kind of song that you can kind of just, you know, snap your fingers to and not really think about too much, or is it more complex and it has all these beat changes and stuff?
All right. So complex seems to be good. What's an example of that?
Georgia on My Mind by Ray Charles.
Just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia! Absolute classic.
So songs like those, so the first question you can ask is, let's take the beat variance of every song that's in the top 100 at the end of each year. Take the average.
Okay.
And let's just see how that compares to the variance of the market, the volatility of the market. Now, it's not exactly dark economic times versus good economic times. It's not like a hemline thing where we're looking at the return of the market. I wanted to look at the mood of the market. And I think the mood of the market, similarly as with songs, is best measured by volatility. So if you think of like if the first 11 months of the year are down years, down months, you know, and then the 12th month is up, you would call that a bull year because it ended up.
Right.
But you really didn't experience that 11 months of the year being up. It felt like a bear market.
And so Georgia on My Mind pretty much predicts that 1960 was a stable economic year as it was.
Right. And it turns out it had very low market volatility. So the relationship is surprising, at least in the first sense, that the more turbulent the songs, the steadier the music.
All right. So 2 years before the stock market crash of 1987, this little tune came out. Now explain this to me.
So this is A-ha's Take on Me. It's a very low. It's one of the 65, I think, lowest beat variance songs of all time. Surprisingly, most of those songs, the steadiest songs, were right around the 80s, right both before and after the crash, which was obviously the highest market volatility time of all time, except for this last year.
So you're saying dance music is bad?
I
don't know if we're buying that.
I mean, what if you're long volatility? Then it's very good.
Right.
Hey, Phil, persuade us that. So you're arguing some interesting correlation. So, tell me in what ways this even might be causal.
Right.
And if it is causal, how might it be significant then?
I don't know the causation yet. This is a first step. There's been no research looking at automatically determined characteristics of music and comparing it to financial markets ever before. So this is kind of a first step.
But the correlation is strong?
The correlation is pretty strong.
But what is the correlation? So are you saying every year lots of music is made? So are you saying that people respond to music differently based on how the market is doing or how they're feeling about how the market is doing? Or is it the music is a result of the anxiety that's produced because of the market?
So those two things is what I thought would happen. So I thought people would be living in a mood of the market where it's volatile and, I better get some steady music so I don't, you know, to calm myself down in a sense.
Which may be why this tune is the current number one Billboard Top 100 hit. We got economic bad times. We got low beat variability there, and Beyonce's big hit.
Yeah.
So when the VIX is high, when volatility is high, you're saying that people who are actively engaged in the market seek out and perhaps make more popular music with low beat variants.
That's the first surprising result that seems to happen. And yes, that's the first thing. The second thing is the causation. Which way does it go? That's the first question. So I would have expected,
right,
the market causes the music.
That was my question.
If and
you could
it
just
seems,
finish answering
and it
that.
Seems,
yeah.
if anything, based on correlations, it goes the other way. That the music, the turbulence of the music, tends to predict the steadiness of the market in the future. So, in fact, you can create a profitable trading strategy, trading volatility for the past 50 years, just looking at the average beat variance of songs as released by Billboard at the end of December each year.
Well, Phil Maimon, I actually got on a GarageBand, I got on GarageBand last night and tried to come up with a song that would actually tip us into an even further recession. So listen to this track and see if it satisfies your criteria. I mean, first of all, it's dreadful. Absolute no beat variance at all.
Okay.
Are you feeling like bonds, going down in value?
That's the interesting thing is I don't know how easy it is to feel it. These numbers come obviously from an automatic analysis of the song from a website called EchoNest, which just recently launched. So I don't know. The next thing I want to look at
causal.
Is to see.
It's not. I mean, the big question is.
I'd like
is
to
causal.
See do traders trade differently when they listen to different music. That would be an interesting thing, right?
Well, how would traders listen to respond to this music then?
You don't want to
there, Ornette Coleman.
Yeah, you don't want to buy or sell too much because who knows what's going on. You just kind of want to steady, relax a little bit with your portfolio.
Are you convinced there's a real causal relationship here? And if so, do we need to care about it? Because I'll give it for instance. I got an email the other day that said the Detroit Lions were 0-16 last year. And if you look at the recent history, everybody involved with the team, their name starts with an M. There was Matt Millen, Martin Mayhew, Marty Morningway, Steve Mariucci, and Rob Marinelli. I don't think that's causal, but maybe this is.
Again, this is a first step. It's a new form of research to look at the link between popular culture and broad financial markets.
At the very least, it allows us to play a lot of interesting music. Phil Maimon, thanks so much for joining us. Assistant Professor of Finance and Risk Engineering at the Polytechnic Institute of New York University. And Stephen Dubner, Freakonomics blog and co-author of the Freakonomics book. And he's got a book coming out, right? How are you doing?
Eventually. We're
eventually,
doing,
eventually. It's high anxiety there. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
This is Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people. By covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.